We've already had an amazing first service. Our kids came and did their, we had a combination of families who did stuff online for us versus in person, and we got to celebrate the story of Jesus. And it was such a refreshing time, and we're going to talk a little bit about the one who gives us life and how sometimes what seems like a small thing for us to give to God is actually a thing that will change everything. I want us to look at this first scripture, if we could put that up. And then, the reason you saw some scurrying in the front, I was thinking, you know, you guys deserve at least some part of the kids' Christmas play. And so, after we read this, I'm going to invite Grace Metter to come up, and she's going to sing O Holy Night that she did in both services. I thought she should sing it for us too, right? And so we're going to do that, yeah. So I'm going to ask all of us to stand. And Grace, you can come on up and find a spot that you're comfortable with. And let's remember the good news of Jesus. And would you read this with me this morning? And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Lord, bless your word and cause us to see that, Lord, what seems small to us and what we give can change the world and is most important to you. So we thank you for the gift of the real meaning of Christmas, and ask that we remember that you loved us so much that you sent your son on a very special night. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Why don't you be seated? Grace, thanks for singing one more time for us. Let's receive together. No, Pastor Sean will not be singing the next part of that song. God is so good. Thanks so much, Grace. What a blessing. We've had at Cornerstone, we talk about being one family that God creates that speaks at least two languages, embraces at least three cultures, and celebrates four generations, all to show the greatness of what Jesus can do. Because, you know, this world tells us that there are obstacles and ways that we never can be together, that we can't know peace. We live in a world that's certainly not giving us much peace these days. And yet the good news on that Christmas day was that God saw our need, and the one who created us gave us a gift that no one thought was the answer. I mean, can you imagine in today's political, social, racial, economic environment, God showing up with the angel said and saying, I've got an answer for all of you. There's a baby that's just born. And he's not in the best part of town. And he doesn't actually have his own crib. But I'm telling you what, you've got your answer. That'd kind of be hard to recognize as the good news we need. But the beauty is that small gift that didn't seem all that important to the world, and hardly any of the world knew, that was the gift that could really bring peace to an entire world. And you know, that's kind of the real story of Christmas, that there are things that are much more important than this world makes it to be. We live in a world that kind of focuses on what I don't have and what I want and who hasn't given me what I deserve. And yet God is a God who says, no, the answer you're looking for is not in what someone else will give you. The answer is in receiving what I'm giving you and then actually giving. The answer to better life is not give me, give me. The answer to a better life is let me give. And most of us, I mean, if you're like me, would think, well, I don't know. What does it matter what I give? I'm not that important. And again, that's the truth behind the Christmas story, that what doesn't seem that important for you to give is the thing that changes everything. God gave his son. We use the word Christ when we talk about Jesus, Jesus Christ. That word Christ is the Greek word for king. God gave us a king, one who would be able to really rule and bring us into a kingdom and a way to live like nothing else on this earth. And it's not by power, and it's not by working harder or worrying more. It's about worshiping the one who says, I know you, and I've made you, and I have peace for you. I have a way to heal you. And so Christmas tells us that when we don't think it's important what we have to give, that it's really very important. You know, in this story, Mary and Joseph, they give their trust in a circumstance and a pregnancy and an engagement that doesn't make any sense to anybody else. The angels give good news, and they give them to shepherds who are the least important in all of their society. And then those shepherds, they give their time, and I'm not sure who's watching the sheep while they're going to see Jesus, but they give their worship to the king. We even hear about a king, a wise man who come and give gifts. The whole Christmas story is filled with this theme that it's important to give what you have. In our home, we have a tradition that all our Christmas ornaments are kind of like memories of that year, you know, and so we collect all these. And so our Christmas tree doesn't look like the most impressive and elegant because it's got like lots of paper, you know, like made this when I was in fourth grade kind of thing, or picture of this. Like, it's not all that impressive looking, but all those ornaments mean a lot to us because they're all about the memories of how God has helped us over the years. And we always start off by praying, and we always start with the Christmas nail that we remember the gift of Jesus on the cross, and we put it in the tree first. And then we say, God, thank you, as we put up all these other decorations, all these other ornaments. Thank you that the only reason we have all these good memories in our life is because you had a really bad memory, because you went through something really hard so we could have something really good in our lives. And then we begin to put up all these ornaments. And this year I said, hey, before we put up the ornaments, why don't you look at yours? And they're all kind of in a pile. Each kid's got their own. And says, why don't you tell us which ornament to you has become the most meaningful to you over the years? You know, the one that when you got it, you're like, oh, that's okay. But now, years later, this one means the most to you. And every one of us mentioned an ornament that was man-made and had absolutely no value to anybody outside of the family. Like, all of ours, like, oh, this one means the most because this was special. And, hey, remember when Caleb, finally the adoption was completed and he's home from Ethiopia and Melody made him this little Ethiopian flag that actually has the colors upside down, but it's still cool. And, you know, we're like, we love it. Like, and Caleb's like, that's my favorite one. And it's this idea that there were things that people gave us that at the time, oh, that's nice. But after a while, that's the thing that means the most to me. Because I think if you look at your life and think back at the things that have helped you get by and make sense of life or not give up, you probably have a memory of someone who gave you something that maybe didn't even seem that important. And I'm not talking like a material gift. Maybe they just gave you their love or their time. Maybe there was a way they were thoughtful, or maybe it was this small act of always being there for you over time that no one else gave you. And the whole world would say, that's not even worth anything. And everybody else would say, that's not even that important. And yet you would look back and say, that gift means the most to me. Well, I want to tell you, there was a day, Christmas morning, the original one, where God gave a gift that almost no one thought was that important. And yet that was the day that changed everything. And it's a day that you and I need to remember is God saying, I love you. And yes, this world's broken, but I do have peace. We've been talking about it all weeks long. And I just want us to, in a moment, we're just going to have a little worship. Because when's the last time you just got out of your own head and your own things and what you're managing? Just when's the last time you just took some time to worship God? And you can worship and not know your life's perfect and things are still messy. Like, it's not, I don't come to God once I've figured it all out. I come where I'm at. Just like the dirty, unclean shepherds who were literally considered unclean and unacceptable, they literally weren't allowed in the city of Bethlehem. And somehow they came in because there was one born who wanted to receive their worship. In a moment, we're just going to do that. But I want you to think about three things that are really important for you to give God. And these three things, you're probably going to say, I don't think that's that important. But I'm telling you, they're very, very important to God. And the first one, and this may seem too simple to you, but the first one is this. You know what God really would love for you to give him that's so important? It's actually you. Like, just give him yourself. And, you know, I think as we look at what's going on in this world, there are lots of people who are like, you know, I don't know, who wants me? Like, who cares? I mean, I know a lot of people want stuff from me, but who wants me? Well, the real Christmas story, the real gospel, the good news of Jesus is, you know who wants you? God. Just where you are, just how you are. He wants you right now. And we spend so much time trying to be like somebody else that we forget that God wants us just the way we are. And I know it's kind of a simple thought, and I know you might even say, well, what does it matter? Like, you know, there's all these billions of people in the world, and there's lots of Christians. Like, who cares? Like, what does it matter if I decide? It's like, hey, I think you are way more important to God than you realize. And it may seem like a small thing for you to say yes to giving your life, to giving your trust to God. But I'm telling you what, from Christmas to the cross, there's only one message from the God who created you. I want you. You're who I choose. And I just hope you'll kind of remember that, because we tend to live in this world that judges us by our bank account or by our followers in social media or by our position at work or I don't know what your number is. But I'm telling you what, don't let any of those define you, because when God sent his son, he didn't let any of those define him. He just chose to be born in some place nobody knew about without any important people around. And literally, his mom laid him in what's the equivalent of your pet's food dish because she didn't have anything and any place to put him. And that was a king saying, I don't need the things of this world for good news and for joy and for peace, and you don't either. I think the other thing that's really important that we give him is our worship. Because that's the idea of like, God, you're the most important thing. I think about you. My heart loves you. What excites me and what gives me reason to lift my voice is you. And you know, Jesus said in John chapter 4, it's actually the story that David referenced in the story of the Good Samaritan. In those days, Jews and Samaritans did not mix politically, ethnically, racially. In every sense, they did not talk to each other. And Jesus was in this going home through the Samaritan village, through the Samaritan lands. And usually, like, they don't talk. And Jesus talks to this Samaritan woman and says, hey, I'd like a drink. And she's like, why are you talking to me? Like, talk about even just gender in those days. Men didn't talk to women, let alone a Jew and a Samaritan. And Jesus was like, no, I've got a gift for you today. And they end up talking through what it looks like to know real life. And she's always wanting to make it political, racial, culture. And Jesus just won't go there. He's like, no. He says at the end, he says, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, for those are the kind of worshipers that God is seeking. Like, God's looking for your worship and mine. Well, Sean, what does it matter? You know, I mean, whether I worship, and I'm not just talking about music, I'm just the way I live my life. And it's like, you know what? It matters a lot more than you realize. We've got some special guests here. There's a bunch of people here today and online. Again, if I haven't said, I'm so glad you guys are all with us this morning. We got two special guests. I'm going to totally embarrass them today because you need to know who they are. I'm just going to ask Jeff and Linda Knickerbocker if they'd stand really, really quick. And just, Jeff, just real quick, say hi. They're not even going to stand. So I don't know how many years ago it was that Jeff and Linda, they had gone on a missions trip to the Dream Center in LA, and they decided that one day, it was kind of a missions trip about doing community outreach, And you guys can correct me if I get this story right or wrong, but basically one of the things they did was they took bananas to a very government kind of complex that was really just really a rough area. And we got back, they got back, and they said, hey, Pastor Sean, and this was how many years ago? 20? 20-something years ago. And what we decided to do was they decided to take bananas on the Jeff Davis corridor to the Shady Hill Trailer Park and give out bananas as a way to say hello. And I think people thought you were bananas, right? I mean, there's a parallel with your giving. And that began what you and I know as Cornerstone Revitalization Center. Yeah, that's how that began. And thank you guys. What you have given has turned into now, a 20-plus year relationship. We've got Todd Wilson in the back there, who was the chair and the president of CRC for so long. And now we've got Diane Huff, who's the current chairwoman of CRC. And we've given hundreds of thousands of dollars to that community. We've had loads and loads of joy. And with just this week, we had our Christmas store. Did you know that Cornerstone and its friends gave over $6,000 in toys and gifts for moms and dads to shop for their own kids at Christmas? Isn't that awesome? I mean, praise the Lord for that. Yeah, that's a stand right there. And it was Jeff and Lori who, just worshiping and loving God, decided that, well, I don't know if bananas are going to change the world, but let's give them anyway because I feel like I can. And it's just one of examples of people in this room and all of you online that, you know, God started by me giving something, by worshiping him, by honoring him, by wanting to tell other people about him, that ended up changing the world. One of my favorite stories at Shady Hill over the years was we would always do a monthly picnic outreach, and we were basically known as the hot dog church. Because once a month, we do hot dogs, and moms would talk with moms, and kids would play with kids, and we'd have an incredible time. And all of a sudden, all the socioeconomic and all the differences of everything else just kind of melted away as we're eating hot dogs together, right? And I don't remember you, Jeff. You may remember this guy's name. There's this one guy, Todd. You may remember his name. He had started coming to church, and his life was really changing. And like always, every outreach, there would be brand new people who just kind of moved in. And Shady Hill's kind of a cash-only society to rent. It's mostly trailer parks and masonettes. And we got a lot of wonderful friends there. I mean, we love the place. But usually when someone comes there, they're kind of running away from life in a few different areas. And so this one guy was kind of checking us out and not sure what was going on. And I don't remember this guy's name, but he was kind of like, and then we had this one guy, we're just going to call him John. John was, you know, he had started coming, he accepted Christ, and his life was really changing. He was helping us set up and take down. And this other guy was like, yeah, what are these guys about? Like, I don't know about this. And John's like, no, this is legit, man. This is like really good. He said, you know, before we started doing these picnics and outreach, like, we never thought ourselves as a neighborhood. But then we started like having these picnics and eating together. And then he said this line, which I'll never forget. He said, you know, it's really hard to shoot somebody when you just shared a hot dog with them. I'm not lying. That's what he said. It's like, you know, it's really hard to shoot at somebody when you shared a hot dog with them. Yeah. Lee. Like, I've forgotten most of the sermons I've ever preached. I have never forgotten that line. I was like, yeah, did a few hot dogs matter? Apparently they did. We started off in Ethiopia giving. And just started by a trip and just giving our time. And it turned into, now we've served over 25,000 patients in Project Hope, free medical clinic. And it's among an all-Muslim community that has leprosy. And all of you probably at one time or another have given towards it. And it's literally that. It's no longer an all-Muslim village because the love of Jesus has come and there's been over 300 salvations in the past 7 years. It's amazing. Yeah. But it really all starts with you and me thinking and feeling led to give and then having to get past that thought, well, what does it matter what I do? It matters a lot what you give. It matters a lot that you worship. And I saw this verse, and if we could put it up here, and sometimes we have a way of talking ourselves out of what God's calling us to do, and we tend to do it out of almost a sense of who am I, but I want you to hear that what you give is really important. Jesus said this in Luke 6, 37 through 38, and I just pay attention to the very first sentence. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. You know, I think there's a lot of times we don't think it's very important to one say, I forgive you. And a lot of times we never, ever forgive ourselves. I mean, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price, and we still won't let ourselves experience forgiveness, release, and a new beginning. I love David's testimony. He's like, you know, I just been struggling. Here's this preacher talking about alcohol and drug and addiction, and all of a sudden I just realized, like, there's a place to be forgiven. And when's the last time you ever thought about forgiveness in your life? I'm pretty sure you've probably thought 1,000 times of how you wish you hadn't done that. I'm pretty sure you've probably thought a lot about how you beat yourself up over it. When's that last time you ever thought about being forgiven? That somebody paid the price for you. And I love it because a fair and just God says, well, look, I've done everything to forgive, but you need to forgive as well. You need to let some things go. And I'm not talking about like, oh, forgive and forget, or oh, it was nothing. I mean, like, God, that hurt me and wounded me, and there's probably going to be a scar with me the rest of my life. But I think you have done more than this person has taken. So I forgive. Because it's not going to stop my future in you. So I think just that line right there, you know, when's the last time, hey, oh, well, they know I still love them. Or it's like, yeah, when's the last time you gave forgiveness? And when's the last time you received it? And I love the rest of this line. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. About 3 weeks ago, we're talking about the Christmas King, King Jesus, Jesus Christ. That's what that word means. A gospel, a declaration that something new has happened for every one of us. Good news. And in that, this king says, hey, you know what? I'm going to be your peace. I'm your Prince of Peace. I'm going to take care of you. You're forgiven. You don't have to wrestle with that. Sure, there are things you've got to work out. I've got that. Follow me. But then he says, look, live a life against the current of the world. I mean, toilet paper. I mean, we're just like holding tight onto it. It's like, you can give some, you know, you can let it go a little bit. The other people can have some. One of the most memorable sermon moments you've ever heard from me. But it's kind of true. It's like this world is like take, 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 keep, 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 worry, 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 fight, defend, look out for myself. And God's saying, why don't you give? Well, it won't matter much. It's like, no, it'll matter a lot. It could change a family's history. It could change the future of grandkids and great-grandkids. It could change marriages. It could change your workplace. It could, in the middle of season where more people are struggling with depression, it could save lives, literally. Well, it just seems like some bananas. Yeah, I think you could be building a legacy. Just give. Because if you give, I'll give through you. And when I give through you, I give so much, you've got tons of leftovers in your life, even though you've given to everybody else. 5 loaves, 2 fish, right? Lots of leftovers. Your God determines how you give. If your God's you, you don't give a ton because you're always trying to take care of you. But if your God is Jesus, the King of Heaven, hey, if you need it, here it is. I got a king. He's taking care of me. So we're just going to finish with a moment of worship. And I do want to remind you, and this is, you know, if you're a guest here today, this is about our church family online too, but we are giving towards another opportunity to see God do it again. And so if you could put up just the list, just I want people to ask. So we're going to give to Ethiopia to continue to see that happen. We're actually starting a free service pharmacy. So not only people are getting free service, now they're getting free medicine as well. It's amazing what's going on there. 30 miles away from the fourth most holy city of all Islam is this incredible little gift of Jesus that's changed the world. All our missionaries around the world, we're going to be giving to them an extra gift to say thank you for giving your life for the gospel. Church planning right now. Right now, there are over 300 to 400 other disciples worshiping in other churches at Motivation and New Community because of what you've given in Christmas offerings. CRC, the hot dog organization, right? Man, the school system just gave us another double wide trailer that we're going to put in because right now, if you go down there, our after school program, half the kids are in the double wide trailer and half are in a tent with a heater because we've got way too many kids, and especially for COVID, to even put them all in the same place. So we're literally doing half of it in a tent right now. But the school system has donated another double wide, and we're thankful for that. And we're going to work on putting it. Anybody knows how to cut down trees, let us know. We got a few trees to chop down. Right, Todd? Blessing our public schools. I've had two principals this week, last week, call me up, say, hey, Pastor Sean, one Carver Middle School said, our teachers could use some encouragement. They're worn out, and we want to buy them some new technology to do online school. You guys have talked about having a Blessing Public School Fund. Would you consider? I said, check's already signed. Done. Thomasdale High School. Hey, our Hispanic community would love some more todos los días shirts because we're still trying to encourage. We thought we could give them out for gifts. Would you guys consider? Check. Done. Merry Christmas, everybody. So if we can give to that, that's a huge sign and wonder. We want to around Easter declare the good news of Jesus. Our kids ministry, we can't be faithful to the next generation sharing the gospel if we don't reach young families. So, and young children. So we're going to do some things there. We'd love to also get rid of some of that debt. And we'll probably have another tent revival coming in the spring, which, yeah, was super cool. So we're just going to finish. If you want to give, there are the envelopes there. You can put the in the boxes in the back. If you're a guest, not for you, man. Just receive today. Just enjoy. And you can also do it online. So just enjoy cornerstone.hg give. And we're hoping for the 60,000 to be a blessing. But it all boils down to one thing, giving yourself. So I'm just going to invite you right now. Would you stand? And Pastor Brian's going to lead us in a moment of giving your worries. And I really want to emphasize this. I think online here, God also gives forgiveness. And all you got to do is say yes. Just, if you'll allow, recognize that for the sin, for the ways that you chose to wound or forget or rebel or even harm yourself, Jesus said, I've given my life on the cross to give you a new spirit, a new beginning. So as Pastor Brian leads us in worship, let's give worship and ask God to show us all along this Christmas season how to give small things that don't seem like they're that important, but I'm telling you what are going to change the world. Pastor Brian.